pray. I would like to share with you some messages to prepare our heart ready and to be close to God. Let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7 is a sermon on the mountain. And in the beginning of Jesus' sermon on the mountain, he talked about eight different kind of blessing. So Jesus Christ ask people to follow him. The reason is he wants to bless them. Today we come to the church for what? To be blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We come for RHTS for what? To be blessed by our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we really receive blessing from the Lord, then you will not feel coming to the church is a burden. You really want to come. And when you leave the church, you are thinking, I'm coming back. When you are in church, you don't want to leave because this is the place we receive blessing from the Lord. And so many different kind of blessing, and one of the blessing is see God. You know, when we live our life in this world, we have many interaction with other people. And some of the people, after you interact with them, that memory is so beautiful, it's so sweet, in the whole life you will never forget. So a lot of good person in our life actually influence a lot. They transform us, and they become a role model for us to imitate. But none of those experiences is comparable to the experience of see God. Why? Because God is the most perfect one. God is in spirit. So when we behold the perfect one in spirit, and that kind of inner joy, inner fulfillment, inner enrichment, inner transformation is incomparable with anyone else in the world. And to see God, there are two kind of experience. The first is while we are still alive, and the second is after we die. Now we look into after we die, what are you going to do? 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 first. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the Son of God. Therefore, the world know us not, because it know him not. Verse 2, beloved, now we are the Son of God, and it does not yet appear that we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, if somebody asks you, Can you tell your personal experience how much God loves you? We can tell a lot, right? God protect me from the accident, or God give me a summer intern job, or later on after you graduate, God give you a good school with scholarship, or later on you can say God give you a real job with a high pay, right? We can describe a lot of how good it God has been treating us. But when the First John chapter 3 talk about, behold, what the manner the love of Father has bestowed upon us, how much the Lord has loved us. The Bible here does not mention anything in the world. Do you know why? Because anything in the world is limited. When Paul was lifted up to the third heaven, he witnessed how good it was in the third heaven, and he did not want to return. And after he returned to the world, he said all the world become garbage. It's not because the world has no value. It's because the spiritual world, the heaven, the third heaven, is so wonderful, is so good, is uncomparable with anything in the world. Anything in the world compared with the world in heaven is considered no good at all. It's like a garbage. So after Paul went to the third heaven, his concept of value changed. He did not love the world at all. Why? Because he set up his goal in heaven. That is the best place I want to go. I want to accumulate the glory in that place. Because he witnessed how wonderful it was in the third heaven. So verse 1 say, how much the love Father had loved us. Right? And he talk about, the Bible talk about three things. The first one is called the Son of God. It changed our status. Before, we are the sinner. And we belong to Satan. Right now, after being justified by our faith through Jesus Christ, we become the Son of God. We become the Prince of God. And so in the eyes of God, we become very nobles. After convert to Christ, even though in the world, we are still nothing, right? When we die, the world loses nothing. When we resurrect, the world adds nothing. Right? But in the eyes of God, we are so precious that we are his children. We are his prince. He treasures us so much. And he sent his son to die for us, to save us out of sin. Sin is what? Sin is filthiness. So we become very pure. And the second, you talk about the love of God, say, when he appears, we shall be like him. When Jesus' second coming, if it happened tomorrow, what is going to happen? When the angel blows the trumpet, the Holy Spirit inside us will transform us, and everybody, our physical body, will be transformed into spiritual body. And that is a glorious body, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Some will have a glory like a sun, some will have glory like a moon, some will have like a glory like a star, and every star different glory. So even though in this material world we are nothing, but in the spiritual realm when Jesus' second coming, right, we all will be transformed after Jesus Christ, that kind of spiritual body. It will shine the glory. So this is the second level we understand how Jesus loves us in the spiritual realm. We are going to be transformed into a spiritual body. And then the last one is we shall see him as he is. You know how God is, how wonderful God is, we cannot totally describe it. Why? Because when you start to describe how wonderful God is, then you are limited. Even a person can describe how God, wonderful God is, still we cannot totally understand. Why? Because when we use the language to describe something, the language itself already limited. So how God really is, nobody can really understand, describe it in the world. But one day when we go there to see him face by face, at that moment we will totally understand him. But one thing is for fact, for true, is almost everyone whose spirit been deep up to heaven, they don't want to come back. Even the people who die, sickness or accident or whatsoever reason, die and go to the heaven, right? And the family member and the church pray so hard for them, right? Ask God to resurrect the person. And then the angel say, oh, you have to go back. Why? Because your timing is not right yet. And that person don't want to come back because it's so good there. But because the time is not right yet, the soul fall back into the body and resurrect it. So it's so wonderful we will be there with the spiritual body. And that we are going to see him face by face. And that will happen when Jesus' second coming. And before that, how can we see God? Right? We see God in our daily life. Let's turn to the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 5. Job 42, verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye see you. Look, Job has gone through so great tribulation. Right? Within one day, he lose all his possession, all the animal, all the cattle die. And all his children die, right? And then all his property was lost. Can you imagine how kind of trial he's gone through? And his wife say, you worship God and you fall into this kind of desperation. Why don't you forsake God and die? So his wife deserted him, right? And then the Satan come down again and attack him. God said, you cannot take away his life, but I hand over Job to you. So he start to sick. The whole body, not even the place is intact. It's so itching. He used some kind of material to scratch the itchiness. So when his friend come to see him, try to comfort him, his friend cried 3 days and 3 nights. Why? Because previous Job was so much blessed. We are so envy about him. Right now, Job fall into this kind of stage, so pitiful. They cry 3 days and 3 nights. But after Job gone through this so difficult trial, he give a conclusion. Before, I only hear about God. But right now, I see God. So what does that mean? Before Job was, the faith of Job is theoretical or theological. And now, the faith of Job is built upon his personal experience. He really touched God. He really see God's work in his life. You know, most of you, not probably, most of you are the second generation faith. Means that your parents are the members. So you're born in your family, so your parents bring you to be baptized, right? Most of you. You come to the Bible and seeking for the truth and repent and being baptized. Raise your hand. You come to the church, repent, and understand the truth and baptize. Raise your hand. Nobody. Oh. So most of you are second generation of faith, right? You believe because of your parents, right? Oh, second generation of faith, because the parents bring the children to the church every week. So you are taught God is love. You are taught God is good. You are taught heaven is good. You are taught, right? If you do something wrong, right, you're going to face the punishment of God. So we hear a lot of theory. We know a lot of story of the Bible. We know a lot of theology, the teaching of the Bible, right? But if the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob want to become the God of your father and God of you, you have to come through one step. Personal experience. Build up your personal relationship with God. God is our father, the God of our father, that's true. But it really God is the God of our God, that may not be true. So, we have to go through personal experience of God and reestablish our relationship with God. And that process is called, I heard about you previously, but right now I see you face by face. Oh. So you come to the NYTS, not NYTS, RHTS. That is a very good occasion for us to touch God, to personally experience God, and to personally reestablish the relationship with God. We know right now there's a pastor, and he testified that I think 1 year or 2 years before he enrolled himself in TDP, in one of the NYTS, he prayed so hard. He put a lot of effort into it because God moved him to pursue after him. So during the prayer, we still remember he was sometimes laughing. He was so joyful. And then during the prayer, he really experienced God. He really touched God. So that God become his God. And his face had been transformed. So later on, when he saw that recruitment of DDP, God touched him, and then he enrolled himself. Right now he's a full-time minister. You know, the best reward to serve God is nothing material. No. The best reward to serve God is God himself. If we are trying to enroll DDP because of anything other than God, probably the motivation is not good enough. The reason we want to serve God, because God is so wonderful. God is so good. The best reward is when I serve him, I please him, God will abide in me. God will be always with me. Right? And that is the reward already. So when we experience God personally, and that will motivate us to serve him even more. No. So if we look into the book of Ezekiel, right? God tried to entrust a work for Ezekiel to do. What did he do? God just showed him the glory of God. When Ezekiel saw the glory of God, and he was burning with zeal, even God said, the job is very difficult. He said, still want to go. So to see God will become a most profound motivation in your life to serve God, to live for him. You want to praise him. Why? Because God is so wonderful. So I want to praise him. I want to live for him. No. To serve God, see God is so important to build our personal experience in our life. Then how can we see God? I think I will share with you 3 points. The first point, we have to shun the youthful passion. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. free also use for lust or use for passion, but follow righteousness, faithful, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What does that mean, use for lust, use for passion? Lust, how do we define lust? We have many different kind of desire. And this desire can be good, can be bad. If that desire already go beyond the boundary of truth, and that is lust. So when you get, when you grow older, you are going to start to have interest about opposite sex. It's not a lust, it's a natural development. Because your interest in opposite sex, so later on, marriage become possible, right? If you nobody interest about opposite sex, how can you get married? But before a person get married, if we have a lustful thought about opposite sex, and that is sin, no, and that's not pure, and that will defile us. No. And what should we do? Here's a free the youthful passion. How to free? You have to pray, right? Use a hard prayer. So when the Holy Spirit fell upon you, you can get rid of that kind of occupation, control of the youthful passion. Other than that, it's very difficult nowadays. About last year in New York Times, they have an article talk about the East Coast. There's an Ivy League university. A lot of people want to study there, right? It's talk about weekend hookup. Right now in the Ivy League school, so many people, they have no time to invest in the relationship. If you start to try to invest a relationship first, you need to have time, right? Every week you will spend a few hours. The second, you need to have money to drink a coffee together or have a meal together, right? This or that. And they are so occupied because they have their own goal. So what should they do? When they have that kind of useful passion, there's just a weekend hookup. You go to a certain location and certain opposite sex, they also have that kind of need. Then you just have a wild party, something, and one night together, and nobody know who is who. And then the second day finish. And this is quite popular. Right now it's quite popular. Now, so in this kind of culture, what should we do? The only one way is run, free from the youthful passion. You cannot, free from the youthful passion, the youthful passion will catch you. It will hook you, then we finish. So how can we do? Pray hard. When we pray hard, Holy Spirit fell upon us, you know, you can control the internet. Internet cannot control you. No. And you can visit a good website to do something very meaningful. You will not be controlled by the bad website. The only one way is pray until we are filled by the Holy Spirit with power, and then we can feel free, the youthful passion. I know some of the youth, they want to come back to church, but it's very difficult for them. Because what? They still live in the sinful life pattern. Oh, so they feel very guilty to come back to church. Oh, so sign the youthful passion. That is very, very important. Oh, the second one, Psalm chapter 51, verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This is a prayer of David. You know, David was a man after the heart of God. Right? God really loved him, like him. A so spiritual person who had wrote so many psalms in the book of Psalms, had been touching so many people. But he commit almost three commandments out of the 10 commandments. Why? From the prayer here we know, create, oh Lord, create in me a pure heart. The reason a person will commit sin, because the heart is not pure. Oh. So how can we change our own heart? Almost impossible. Right? we can wash the clothes by a washing machine, put on a stronger detergent, right? But how can we wash our heart clean except God? Nobody can do it. No. So how can we have pure hearts, or can God abide in us? We have to pray, God, please create in me a pure heart, a heart with purity, a heart with no filthy, a heart with no evil thought, a heart with no sin, a heart with no lust. We only, the only one way, prayer. So in this prayer, let us think about if we want to experience God, right, just like we see him in our life, the condition is pure in our heart. How can we pure in heart? Run free away from useful passion in prayer and ask God to create us a pure heart. By doing so, we will be closer and closer to our Lord, and we are going to behold his glory more and more, and we will be attracted by him, and we will be transformed by him. So let's put forward and seeking for the purity of heart so we can see him. Now we still have 30 minutes. Let's come forward and we pray.